I figured out what works for me to give me the freedom to enjoy the ride, enjoy the journey, and that's organization.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Executive Order Podcast, a show for small business owners who want to learn how to do less to accomplish more. I'm a professional organizer based in Somerville, South Carolina, and I know there isn't a one-size-fits-all for organizing within your business. In talking with my guests and chatting about our struggles, our wins, and our lessons learned, I hope that you can learn what works best to create a business and a life that's just right for you. Hey, everyone. So today we have the pleasure of chatting with Melinda Colon. She is a brand and marketing strategist, and she works with solopreneurs and startups. Hey, Melinda, how's it going?
Great. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you for asking. So tell us a little bit about how you got started in the world of branding and marketing.
You know, I've always had a sweet spot for marketing and branding. I went to school and got my graphic design degree. And right out of college, I worked in marketing. Right out of college, I was working with sales representatives who put together direct mail pieces at a small little mom and pop direct mail company. And I really enjoyed it. And I was often pulled into these meetings with the clients and the sales reps to talk about marketing strategy and brand strategy, just to make sure that they were standing out in the mail. And we discussed different things like, you know, the direct mail piece size, what type of colors they wanted to have in their brand. There was other things like how many pieces they were going to go out. If there was going to be a series, they wanted to make sure that as soon as the customer received it in their mail, they knew exactly who the company was without ever seeing the name. So just really understanding what the brand was and identifying ways aesthetically to attract customers. And it was a really great experience. And it just opened me up to a brand new world of how important it is to really understand what it is to market, whether it be a nonprofit organization or a Fortune 500, they all pretty much have the same basic understanding of who their ideal client is and how to engage with them and how to build a relationship with them that is something more than, you know, just words and text and copy, because nobody reads anymore. Nobody reads anymore. And from then on, I just worked in marketing for 17 years and I really enjoyed it. And in fact, like, I remember so many times where I would share what I learned at work with my family, with my friends, just to help them level up, just to get them the exposure that I was being exposed to. And it was just really awesome.
So is that where the inception of doing your own firm came from, is in helping family and friends do their branding and marketing?
Yeah, it was a mixture between helping friends and family really understand what marketing was, what the difference between marketing and advertising was, the value of marketing, having a really strong marketing plan, the value of having a strong marketing plan, and also the ability to connect with people. So it wasn't just the friends and family, but because I love doing it, because I love helping people, I would help my hairstylist. I would go to Ulta and talk to back then pre-COVID, talk to the makeup artist and say, oh my gosh, you're so good. You should have a YouTube channel. And they're like, no, I can't. And I would talk to them and tell them, okay, this is a lot easier than you think. And you could do it pretty much tomorrow or today if you really wanted to. And here is the strategy behind it. Here are the keywords that you need to put into your tagline. Here are, you know, some ways that you could tailor your message so that your ideal clients can find you. And I just kind of did that. So it was pretty much anybody when we started talking about not necessarily business, but pretty much anything that was creative and exciting, I just went on a rant about marketing.
So it sounds like some people got a lot of really great free advice from you.
Oh, yes. All the time. I think that that's where my mission came from. So I was really hesitant to start my own brand and marketing strategy company because I thought, well, there's enough information out on the web to help people to start their business. And so the first thing that I did is I started a virtual assistant agency because I was also a educated graphic designer, a professional graphic designer, and I could help people with layout design, flyers and logo and graphics. I could also up-level that. So I went ahead and I opened my virtual assistant agency. And soon after that, then I said, you know what, this was really simple. I just took the same strategy and process and launched Melinda Cologne, which is my brand and marketing company for startups and solopreneurs. So that's really where it came from, is getting in the right mindset to start a business and using the skill set that I was most comfortable with without being too extroverted. And when I realized that it wasn't very different from the personality that I have, I just said, okay, you know what? I could do this. This is easy. I could just put it out there because I've been doing it forever for free anyway. So why not just get paid for my time?
Yeah. What does it mean to you to not be too extroverted? What do you mean by that?
So I have always been a bit of what they call an introvert extrovert. So if I have a task at hand that I need to accomplish, I'll get it done. There's no problem with that. I will go into a space and speak to hundreds of people, which I have done. I will go to a business networking event and talk to 20 people, but I have to have a goal. And once I've attained that goal, I'm exhausted. I need to energized by reading a book or watching a movie or just sleeping or just kind of zoning out from the interactions of people, because I'm an introvert. I'm naturally an introvert, but I do work at being an extrovert. And so it's interesting when it comes to what I love to talk about, I can talk about it all day long. So that's the part of the extrovert that comes out of me, is when people are like, okay, so how do I start a business? I have a candle business and I want to sell candles. How do I create a Shopify account? Well, here's some tools and resources, but what's more important is who you're talking to. Who's your ideal client? Where can you find them? And what are they expecting your website to be? What are they expecting your experience with you to be? And so that's really the most important thing. And that's what I love talking about.
That's great that you were able to, one, honor and recognize that introversion that you have naturally, but then to be able to say, wait, I really enjoy, and it lights me up to talk about this one area of expertise. We had Joe Rawbone on earlier in this season of the podcast, and she speaks specifically about introversion. And I really identified with her there because I'm also an introvert. But yeah, I love talking about what I talk about, but I also know that I need to build into my day having the time to recharge and take some quiet time and alone time and kind of zone back into myself before I can go and put back out into there. So I love that you were saying that you can speak in front of 100 people or what have you and do these big extroverted kind of activities, but then you know how you can recharge and take care of yourself afterwards.
Exactly. Exactly.
What is it about solopreneurs and startups that you wanted to work with specifically, or that was the person that you knew that you wanted to serve?
Yeah. So it was just from experience talking to people and hearing what they were doing to start a business. And there was a mixture of people who started a business and they just failed and they felt like they weren't up for the challenge. They couldn't find a way to really make money, to be successful. And it's really challenging when you're working a 9-to-5 and growing a business or starting a business. And or say you have kids, or if you have other responsibilities, your business is in the back end. So your business has to be the last thing that you focus on. And it gets challenging. It gets hard. It's very frustrating and it's exhausting for a lot of people. And the reality situation is that small businesses have a lot more afforded to them than big corporations, to be honest. We have the opportunity to connect with people in a more intimate setting. We have the opportunity to really build ourselves as the brand of our company. And I always recommend that. And I also believe that ideally, the small business, the startups, have a lot to offer. They're still trying to figure out what they are and who they speak to and how to connect with people to really be successful. And oftentimes it comes down to money. I don't have the budget to do advertising, or I don't have the budget to hire someone to take care of my marketing or my social media or my graphics or whatever. And they feel like that's the last thing that they need to do to create a business. And the reality of the situation is that those are the extra, the wish list items. They don't necessarily need to happen. But what really needs to happen is engaging with people, you know, building relationships with people. The first thing that you do in a service-based business is that you go back to your community, your friends, your family, people that know you, that can trust you, right? Because it's always about the know, like, and trust factor. And when you get to the trust factor, then you can pretty much sell them on anything. And you have immediate marketers that are going out there and sharing, hey, I know this trustworthy person and they do X. And it's so easy to start there, but it's so easy to find your ideal client. As an entrepreneur, it's really important to know that you don't have to work with everyone. You can work with whoever you choose to. And I focus on that. I focus solely on ideal clients because I think that that's the key. When you're looking at bigger companies, that the box stores or retailers, e-commerce stores, they all have the same starting point. They identify who they're speaking to before they even create the product or service. They identify what the problem is before they create a solution. So if you understand exactly who you're speaking to, then the rest is easy. You'll know exactly what information to put on your social media. You'll know how often you need to put it there. You don't need to purchase social media content from anybody because it'll just be flooding out of you. And as far as purchasing Facebook ads or Instagram sponsorships, you won't need to do that. You could choose to do that to elevate your reach, but you don't necessarily need to do that to grow a successful business. And so that's really where it stems from. My passion is really helping people recognize that they all have their own zone of genius. And once they've tapped into that and they realize that they can help people with it, they can actually provide a solution to people that are just yearning for that problem to solve. It's just magic. And I love standing beside them and helping them and guiding them through that process.
I was thinking when you were talking about the content just flows out of you, so you don't have to buy content or you know, look to another guru in that way. And when I first got started, I was really worried about what to post and what to say. And the more comfortable that I get in myself and my brand and my business, yeah, I completely identify with that of just like, oh, I don't have to think about it. I know exactly what I'm going to say. It's what's on the top of my mind. It was a conversation I had with a client recently, what have you. So I just want to acknowledge, just from a growing business standpoint, how real that is. How do you qualify your ideal client?
I qualify my ideal client as based on their emotional, their psychographics, their emotional need to start a business. Are they really ready to do it? Are they prepared to take on the responsibility and tasks to do it? And they don't necessarily need to know tips and tactics and experts that are out there. I'll help them. I'll guide them to where to find the information or who to listen to. But more realistically, I focus on who's going to listen. So who is understanding that when you identify who your ideal client is and get organized and you're willing to get structured and organized to start your business, that's really what I relate to. That's who I connect with. And there's a lot of bits and pieces to that formula and who my ideal client is. But most importantly, it has to do with their mindset and where they are. Not necessarily that they need to know and have all the answers and they just need someone to plug it in. It's the people that are prepared to listen, prepared to learn, and they're willing to do the work. Because I don't do anything for them for free, right? I always guide them to understand so that they can replicate it over and over again and build as many businesses as they choose.
So it's really for you about teaching and building that skill set rather than addressing one specific need that they're facing in this moment.
Exactly. Exactly. After doing a lot of research, I've recently created a marketing roadmap. And what that means is it's a roadmap full of courses and downloadable PDFs, and it'll continually build upon itself. It's readily available on my website. You can just use any of the tools that you need in the step that you're in. And it just helps people to kind of progress further without having to drop so much money for a membership or to find time to do a course. And they're concerned about money because tends to be like a course that you pay on a regular monthly basis or something like that. It's, are you ready to take the next step? Here is the next step. And I've identified that there are core challenges with a startup and a solopreneur. And the core challenges are obviously mindset. That's the biggest thing. And that will never really be resolved because we all are concerned with fear. We all have fear. So that just kind of resonating with them in an email, connecting with them in social media, just making sure that they're doing what they need to do, cheerleading them on, but also going further and providing them understanding of what an ideal client is. It's not about demographics anymore. Everybody's online. It doesn't really matter where they're located, right? So, but it's more important to understand how you connect. What is your differentiator? What makes you different and unique than your competitor? And not being afraid to show that and shine, right? And so that's identifying your ideal client and then creating a marketing plan. And people get scared. When I talk to my clients about creating a marketing plan, those one-on-one clients, they're like, can't afford it. I can't do it. I don't have the money. I don't have the time. And I'm just like, this is so much easier than you realize. It needs to be simplified. And once it clicks for you, once that you get it, everything in marketing just becomes, it comes second nature. It becomes a part of what you're doing because you are doing it. Everybody is marketing. We're wearing clothes, we're marketing. Hey, where'd you get your shirt? Where'd you get your dress? Where'd you get your glasses? I love your hairstyle. Those are all pieces of marketing. To be realistic, that's what it is. And connecting with people on social media, in in-person events, and just engaging in different discussions, it's a version of marketing. And if you're sharing your information and you're sharing your expertise with people and you're helping people, you are marketing for a business. So when you turn around and say, hey, you know what? That information that I offered you and it really helped you, would you mind taking a look at my business? And there you go. You've just started to build an audience that is rooting for you, that wants you to win, that is prepared to invest in you, not just buying your product or service, but giving you feedback on your product or service and telling you, hey, I would have loved if you would have included a pair of glass cleaners, those glass wipes with your glasses. I would have loved if you would have included a ring of string with your blouse. I would have loved that you would have included an extra wick or have two wicks on this big old candle that you sold. All of that information is free and it's data to grow a business that people are attracted to. So you get that information from your ideal client. And you go ahead and you say, okay, hey, I fixed it for you. I fixed it for you. And they feel honored and they share that with their friends, with your other ideal clients. And it just goes on and on from there. And when you start to perfect your product or service and you really identify what you're selling, I mean, thinking about, okay, what's my niche? Who am I serving in that space of finding a niche that's a term that people have coined and there's blogs post about it. But the real situation is that it's created naturally because it's focused on your expertise. It's focused on, you know, who you are and what, how you want to serve and how you want to show up for your ideal client. So a lot of things happen through that process of speaking to your target audience and speaking to your ideal clients, which is a group of target your audience. And so I want to make sure that I'm helping people in that space and just keeping it simple. I'm not somebody that needs to fill people with vocabulary. I'm someone that needs to keep things simple because I want to make sure that anybody and everybody who's attracted to building their business and starting it on the right foot understands what I'm saying and understands that it's as simple and basic as it is. And it doesn't need to be complicated. It's not overwhelming. It really is simple and it's very achievable.
There is so much in what you just said that I want to like, yes. So when you first started saying about we're all marketing, whether you're afraid of that word or you own a business or don't own a business, in every decision we make when we leave our home and we're out in the world, we're marketing in one way or another. And I think that's so important to just break it down and be honest about that, that it's just takes kind of that mystifying thing out of it, that it's not this big, scary unknown. It's like what we do all the time. And then when you were talking about getting the feedback from clients, I think that a business owner that can take feedback in that way, it's not easy. But when you can take it and you can incorporate it and understand that by fine-tuning your product or your service or your experience, that you are getting even better in your field. You're getting even better in your space because you are. You're taking that information directly from clients. And the more that you can tailor and tinker, and to me, that's the beauty of being a business owner. That's the fun in it, is that no one tells you what to do, that you get to say, okay, 2 months ago, this is how we were doing it based on feedback. Now we are going to adjust it ever so slightly, see how that works, get some new feedback on that. And I love that there's just always this changing product that you're putting out there.
Exactly. And that's where the success is when, you know, you're right. It is not easy to humble ourselves to listen to some criticism, right? Especially when it comes out of nowhere. But the reality situation is that if we love our business, if we love being an entrepreneur more so than the actual product or service we offer, that's where we can really see successes and achieve milestones that we want to achieve. And it's just that simple. It's all about the mindset. It's all about where you want to be with your business. And it is challenging. It's the stubbornness. It's the pride behind, I just created this amazing thing and I want to sell it. Why can't I sell it the way it is? And you can. Absolutely, you can. There's no reason you can't sell a 2 foot diameter candle with one wick. You could totally sell it, but you won't sell it. You won't sell it as much as if you put three more wicks, right? So those are some things that it's where you want to go. It's your vision of what success is. It's nobody else's plan or definition of success. So if you're happy with selling one wick, maybe you have one wick. And then the other one has 5 wicks or 10 wicks, you know, it's scented, it's long lasting, it has different properties that is different. And you can go ahead and that's considered an A/B test, right? In marketing, and you can go ahead and sell both products and you can allow the numbers to tell you what really works. And that's the value and the power of marketing. That's the value and power of data. You can go back and see the real story, the true story, not the story you want to hear, not the story you want it to be, but the story that your customers are telling you. And that is powerful when you can listen to your customers, because I have seen it time and time again, where a group of customers, loyal customers, come back and say, you know what? I would love if you would also sell snifters because I need those too. Okay, no problem. Hey, you know what? I'm going to test this out and sell my candle with a free snifter for the first 6 months and see how they go. And you know what I mean? It's just playing around to address certain things. Just like you said, you could create anything you want. Today, you might want a candle company. Tomorrow, you want a fragrance company. Or the next day, you want a spa company. It doesn't need to be one thing. It could be whatever you want. And that's the power of entrepreneurship.
Yes. And I think that especially getting started, it's scary because it might feel like you have to choose that one thing. But yes, you're choosing that one thing, so you're not scattered and throwing things in 100 different directions, but it can always morph and change over time. When you and I, before we started recording today, we were talking a little bit about organization and how that helps with decision making. And I think that through this conversation, we've kind of danced around it, but I would love to hear a little bit more, just like a direct way that you think about how organization helps a CEO or a business owner make decisions.
Oh man, organization is, I love organization. I have a passion and I am a little bit OCD with it. And people say OCD and I say OCD and my therapist says OCD, but I think of it as, I figured out what works for me to give me the freedom to enjoy the ride, enjoy the journey. And that's organization. And in my business, when I started Fortis OBM, which is my virtual assistant agency. That was my first business. And I created processes and procedures. I created an email communication, like how to onboard a client and all that stuff. And I never heard of online courses that provided this. I never heard of it. And I came across it and I'm like, wait, I do this anyway. And I just thought, oh my gosh, this is a jewel. This is something that I've been doing naturally. And I never knew. And I've always been the person who has a spreadsheet. If we go on a girls trip, I have a spreadsheet. They know that Melinda has a spreadsheet. She tells you where we're going, but what to budget, how much a restaurant average cost is per plate. Like I am down to the details because it saves a lot of hassle and stress and anxiety about what to do next. How am I supposed to serve in this space right now? You know, going back to the example of creating that email communication for onboarding clients is I'm thinking about what it's going to look like, you know, what it's going to look like for them and how excited they're going to be. And I want to make sure that they have enough time to address what's in my email. If they need to sign a contract, if they need to pay me, if they know everything up front. And guess what? My clients love it. And it's called setting expectations. And when I'm setting expectations early, then they can just relax and just focus on the project at hand. And we get so many compliments about that because they don't have to ask questions. All the information is there right there in an email to them that's tailored for them. It's in the contract. It's just black and white. And that way they can just focus on the project. And so I use those templates to launch Melinda Cologne, to launch Fortis Clean, which is another product company that I have, to launch all of my businesses because I want to keep it simple. I don't want to get overwhelmed and excited about the next best thing. I don't want to get excited about Reels. I don't want to get excited about TikTok. I don't want to get excited about creating a YouTube channel. I don't want to get excited about all the things and thinking I need to do all the things right now. I just need to know what I need to do right now. I need to focus on just ticking off that checklist, going down the list, and making sure that I am doing my best at every step of the process so that I can free myself of the overwhelm. So much of entrepreneurship and trying to figure out how to start a business or how to build a business online is Googling. We Google everything. And then Google tells us what we need to Google, right? So we Google something and then Google tells us what we need to Google because we can find part of the answer. And then we have to Google another thing to get the other part of the answer. And then we're Googling for half the day and we don't get anything done. And that's why I created the marketing roadmap, because I wanted people to know these are the steps that you need to take. And this is the order that you need to take them in to be successful. Everything else that's going on in the world, that's launching, if you have a Clubhouse account or not, if you have an iPhone or not, if you have a MacBook Pro or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you're connecting with your ideal client. What matters is that you're serving them in the way that they want you to serve them. And what matters is that you're happy doing it. Everything else is extra. And if you get to the extra, congratulations, but you don't need to. And that's where organization is so important. It's crucial. It's the most important thing about running a business is knowing where I need to spend my time, what I don't need to spend my time on right now, making a wish list. You could go ahead and make a wish list. I wish to schedule at least 12 podcasts this year. I wish to write at least 20 blog posts this year. I wish to, whatever your wishes are, write them down. I'm notorious about telling people to create goals because goals and organization are, if you do it right, they're connected. And when it comes to entrepreneurship, it's important to know that you're moving that needle forward so that you can feel that this is the exciting part. This is the part where it validates that you should be there, be in the space that you're in.
I love too the idea about writing down goals, just because I think that it's important. I think that the act of writing it is important, but I also think that it frees up your mind that you don't need to hold on to that idea or that goal or that thought because it lives somewhere else, whether that's in your phone, slip of paper, however you do it. It just frees your mind to do the task at hand. And when you were talking about getting excited about the Reels and the Clubhouse and the TikTok, and that's all part of the ride too. But I think that to catch yourself when you're getting all wound up, like, oh, so-and-so is doing Reels, or I really like this, or, you know, maybe I should. It's like, take a pause, take a breath, and like, it's so easy to get caught up in that, whether it's in comparison or you're genuinely excited to just like go and take on another social media platform. But how much, I have a lot of thoughts about it. Is it worth it to get into every single platform? Is it really worth your time? Now, if you have content that you can cross post and just in one blog or one thing, be able to then make a reel out of it and a YouTube video and a blog post and a podcast. Cool. Absolutely. Again, you're working smarter, not harder, and you're organized in that way that you're able to cross disseminate all of that information. Fantastic. But if you are going through and you're making a reel and then you're making a TikTok and then you're making a YouTube video, you're spending way too much time and you're not doing the important things in your business right now.
Exactly. Exactly. And when you're starting out and when you're building a business, it's all about making sure that you can validate your product and your service. So when you're validating your product and service, you need to sell. You need to be making money. And you can't make money making a reel unless it directs them directly back to your product or your service. So I talk about this too in full detail in when I'm on social media, on my Instagram, if you want to follow me. I have lots of content about just tidbits and advice to share with people on the go. And one thing that I do speak about often is the fact that social media it's not a destination. It's a vehicle. And so when you realize that social media is a vehicle, it's not a destination. The destination is going to your Etsy account. The destination is buying from your Shopify or going to your WordPress or your website or whatever, Squarespace, Wix, whatever you want to use. Going and paying you is your destination. Your social media is a vehicle, which means that it could be a Pinto, but if it gets you to the destination, it works, right? So yeah, cross posting and reusing content is a way that you could use your organization skills to up level pretty immediately, right? Because it's all information that you're saving, you're organizing, you have the nomenclature, you're editing properly for different platforms and all that. But realize that you're at the end of the day, you're selling a product. That's what makes you a business. And so if you're focusing too much on your social media, then you're not focusing enough in your business in selling to your clients. So it's a little bit of a balancing act and understanding what that percentage is, whether it's 80-20, whether it's 30-70, whatever works, is never going to be 50-50. It's never going to be worth 50-50 because you won't make money. But what needs to be the focus and the icon in your eye as you're growing a business and you're growing an audience and you're growing a successful product or service, and it's morphing into something that is amazing and exciting and you would have never thought in a million years you would have been there, is connecting with your ideal client, which just means going in and talking to people in Facebook groups and providing insight and expertise and going on network in-person and virtual networking events. Doing that work is actually more profitable than creating a reel. Because a reel is momentarily. What is it for? A reel is just for the moment. It's to excite somebody, is to like it. They go to your social media profile. They check it out. They might click on your website. They might subscribe. But the data shows that people purchase from someone who has an established website. The data. And so it's all about those things, right? It's just when it goes, again, going back to just having that humility to show up where your audience is. Not necessarily you need to be on Clubhouse if all of your clients are not on Clubhouse yet. And it might not be the immediate need to be on TikTok if your clients are not yet on TikTok. You know, your clients are maybe on Facebook and you just need to serve them there, or on Instagram. You just need to serve them there. So just identifying and putting that CEO hat on. You can buy a CEO hat from my website, melindacolon.com.
I love that.
To remind you to put your CEO hat on when you're making major decisions like that, because it is a major decision. Marketing is a major decision in how you're spending your time, because time is a commodity we never get back. We can never earn time. We could spend time. We can never earn time. It's the most valuable commodity. So I always think about that startup, that solopreneur, is seeing their competition or their future self doing the things that they want to do. And it's like, wait a minute, what is my plan? What is my roadmap? What is my roadmap telling me to do right now at this moment in time? I need to focus on this so that I can get there. I need to focus on what my marketing plan needs to be currently right now with my budget before I can get there. Before I can hire a VA to take care of my social media content and create the graphics, because not everybody is a graphic designer. So just all the things, you know, and I agree with you, because that's the exciting part of being organized and having different processes in place so that when the newest thing does come out, you're ready for it and you can implement it. But if you're not ready for it, it's okay. It's okay. Put it on your wish list. Put it on your wish list. It'll happen. And when it happens, it'll be the right time for you.
I have so enjoyed chatting with you, Melinda. You have brought so much wisdom and knowledge, and it's very clear how passionate and excited you are to champion your clients. And anyone would be very fortunate to work with you, in my humble opinion.
Thank you. It was great talking to you too. And I love sharing expertise and advice to your audience. And this is my zone of expertise. So I love it.
You have shared a couple times different places to find you, and I'll put all this information in the show notes. But as one fell sweep of places that listeners can find you, where in the world can they find you at?
Well, you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. My Instagram handle is _MelindaColon. Facebook and Twitter is Melinda Consults. But either way, you can always find me on melindacolon.com and subscribe and sign up for my newsletter that I'll send out weekly to all of my subscribers. Lots of information in there.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Melinda. I hope that we'll talk soon.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us today on the Executive Order Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're really enjoying the show, leave me a review. If you want to connect with the podcast on Instagram or Twitter, you can find it at Executive Order Podcast. And if you want more information or to connect with me about organizing, you can find me at zenniaorganizers.com. All links in the show notes. Can't wait to chat with you in the next episode.